Everyday English Lesson 3. Hello, we welcome you once again to our program, Everyday English. We have been looking at the word moral, mainly as an adjective. We've also said something about the derived adverb, morally. There's still a lot to say about the word moral and other words that are derived from it. For example,
morals,
moralize,
moralistic.
But I would like us to interrupt our discussion of the word and the groups with which it is associated with and look at the other word spelt like it, which we mentioned at the beginning of our discussion. I mean,
morale.
Morale, spelt
M-O-R-A-L-E.
Morale. And morale means?
The state of confidence or enthusiasm or degree of optimism of a person or a group of people at a particular time.
The state or degree of confidence of a person or a group. Thus, when we say a person's morale is high, we mean he's confident or enthusiastic.
He shows signs of hope.
Thus, for example, we can talk of the morale of a football team being high.
Similarly, we can talk of the morale of a football team being low.
Now, just listen to this short exchange for how morale is used.
As I was saying before I was interrupted, you remember the PLP had been very successful during the campaign period. They had organized political rallies over the whole country.
The PLP? Which one is it?
The People's Lethargic Party.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I remember now. Party morale was very high, as I remember. Then what happened?
Then the unexpected threatened to happen. The results of the poll began to be declared, and for the first several hours, it was beginning to appear that the GLP was going to win.
The GLP? I'm not good at remembering the significance of these acronyms.
The Global Lethargic Party.
Yes, go on.
Even neutral members of society like me could sense that morale among the People's Lethargic Party had plummeted. This was how one journalist described the state of their hope and confidence for the future.
And is it true that their morale was so low that a considerable number of party enthusiasts were defecting?
I heard this said, but you see, it could be one of the products of the mighty propaganda machine of the GLP. One thing that was certain, and that was that morale had sunk in the PLP camp, while it was very high among GLP members.
So what happened?
A lot. While GLP men and women drummed and danced on the streets, telling everyone that they had already won, the PLP retreated to corners of the streets of the great city of Adiyanko. Morale was low. It was quite clear.
So what were all these supposedly clever PLP politicians doing?
They did not sit down idly. One of the district secretaries went to one of the phone-in radio stations to make a most effective and morale-boosting speech ever recorded in the political history of Adiyanko.
Did it affect party morale?
Most positively. It did raise party morale, especially of those members who were beginning to waver in their faith and morale.
The meaning of morale should be clear from the several contexts in which it has been used in this dialogue. For example,
the morale of a football team can rise.
Can be raised.
Can be high.
Can be heightened.
Can be low.
Can be lowered.
Now, another word I'd like to consider is mores. Mores. The word is spelt as
M-O-R-E-S.
Mores. The word is used to refer to
the conventions, customs, or practices typical of a group of people.
But perhaps we should add that the mores of a people reflect their moral values.
Yes, which means mores and morals are related somehow. Before we go on to illustrate the use of mores, we should point out that the word is always plural in form and has a plural usage. For example,
the mores of the people of ancient Dendera have been found by anthropologists to be complex.
The mores have been found, not the mores has been found. Furthermore, the word has no singular form. For an illustration of the use of the word, let's listen to this short dialogue. Note in particular the grammatical use of the word, the fact that it is always a plural noun, and also the relation to the word morale and moral values.
You claim the mores of the people of ancient Omanting were complex and fascinating.
Yes, their mores were complex, but I don't make that claim. It is a claim made by cultural historians.
We know a lot about these people in the 21st century, their beliefs, social practices and conventions, and their mores, and how these mores reflect their moral values especially.
That should be straightforward to you.
I have no problem with that. But to claim to know about the mores of a people who lived several centuries ago in the absence of written records beats my simple imagination.
Don't forget that we can recover some aspects of the life of the people of ancient Omanting by studying their social manners today, as well as those of their neighbors. Their ancient mores are reflected by their moral values today.
Would this be true of other aspects of culture?
Yes, indeed. Professionally trained social scientists are able to retrieve information about aspects of a people's history by studying and systematizing data on their contemporary life.
You have mentioned this technique in relation to mores. I suppose it can be applied to language.
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, listeners, we've looked at these words. Moral, morals, morale, and mores. Please try to distinguish them. That's all. Have a good day, and goodbye.